Hi, this is Maddie Rose, host of The Fame Game, and this is Our Future is Missing. Please be on the lookout for Lauren Spirer. She is 20 years old and went missing from Bloomington, Indiana, June 3rd, 2011 at 4:30 a.m. She is Caucasian, 4'11", 95 pounds, with blue eyes and blonde hair. She was wearing a white tank top, a white button-down shirt, and full-length black spandex pants. If you know of Lauren's whereabouts, please contact the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's hotline, 1-800-THE-LOST or 1-800-843-5678. To see a picture of Lauren, please click on the link on the Voice America homepage, Our Future is Missing, or go to ourfutureismissing.com. Thank you.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America. This is VoiceAmericaKids.com.
Welcome to American Pulse on the Voice America Kids channel. Our show will bring you tomorrow's leaders today, and we'll also share what kids just like you are doing to make a difference. Now, here's your host.
What up, everyone? It's Alexa J, your host of the American Pulse, and you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. This week is my second week back in school, senior year. Super fun, duh. Not really, but, you know, making the best out of it. As I've gotten back to school, I'm actually surprised that... Oh, I just dropped something. I'm actually surprised that my classes aren't as, you know, challenging as they were last year. So hopefully that will take off some of my stress that I've been having to deal with for the past few weeks. Like I said earlier in my other show, I've just been going crazy nuts with just colleges and all of this. So... they're fairly, they're still challenging, but they're just nowhere as near as, like, academically competitive as they were last year. So I'm glad about that. I've been really busy with my senior class. We actually just had a meeting today. Tomorrow night we're having yoga on the beach. It's gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be a really busy year, but I'm really glad that I'm getting involved and I get to, you know, hopefully unite my senior class as one, because my school is kind of segregated a little bit, not segregated, but more so everyone lives in different like regions of the county, because it's a school where people come, it's not like a home school. It's where people come from all different like cities to come to this one great public school, because first off, we don't have school on Fridays. And second off, it's great for academics. We're mainly focused on academics, but anyway, more on topic. So second week of school, it was fun. This week was Spirit Week. Monday was, Twin Day. I dressed as an American. I had my American flag on, and I had some, I had redneck Crocs on and Miami Dolphins socks. It was pretty hilarious. And then yesterday was Crazy Sock Day, and then today was Nerd Day. Went all out. I had my see-through backpack and my laptop in hand. It was fun. But some few things that I've been noticing, like, as I got back to school, was mainly there are so many kids in my classes. Generally, like, a class that would typically have 25 kids in there had 40. No joke. Like, my international finance class, we have 40 kids in that class. And these classes aren't, like, big, like, they're normal classroom size. One teacher for 40 students, like, the guy can barely maintain, like, 25, and it's hard enough. Like, it's good that we're like, more of, like, an academically focused school, so for the most part, we're on task, but still to, like, maintain that many kids in one classroom is obviously difficult. I can only imagine for other public schools, those that don't really have a lottery to get in there, how those teachers are maintaining this this class size. But the main what I'm trying to get into here is that this year our government, our state government, has imposed a budget cut for education. Our governor Rick Scott, he's proposed a K-12 budget cut for the coming year that is $1.75 billion less than the current education budget. And about half of that reduction is because the federal government won't be sending the $873 million stimulus for education that it sent last year. So basically, we're in a little bit of a scramble. Our guidance, for example, like there was at least five people in the guidance office last year, and now there's three. So these three people have taken on the jobs of like two other people among like on top of the tasks that they already have to do. They're swamped. So they're swamped with all this paperwork, all these like incoming phone calls, doing like five tasks at one time, and they're supposed to maintain and they're supposed to like be a guidance counselor to the kids. Like they've set aside – I feel like they've really set aside like their priorities of getting to us and just trying to focus on other things. It's really difficult. Like I feel like our government, our state government doesn't – they're not in the classrooms. Like they don't really see like what big of a difference it has made and an impact on us, because as students, we're not getting the education that we deserve. We don't have the supplies that we deserve. We're not getting the attention that we deserve. Like everyone wants that hands-on teaching skills. It's more like munificent for the kids. And then the teachers would have a better outlook on it as well. Like who wants to grade 40 papers per class when you can't even control the class? When it's more hands-on, the teachers have a better outlook on their job and they have more of like a zest for teaching. And you could just tell, like I can even look at my administration this year and I can just totally tell, like see in their eyes that they're just over it. They're just so sick of the whole system and all of everything that's like going into it. It's kind of a big deal. I'm going to hopefully, with the prolong of the year, it gets a little bit better, but we're just going to have to deal with it. What else? So the teachers, they're getting paid less. We're not getting the resources we need or deserve. The class size increase is a big, big deal. But so our teachers, they've been, you know, telling us a lot, well, kind of, you know, ranting to us about the budget cuts and how it's affecting them and how they kind of hate our governor. And well, we're like, we know about it, but we're really influenced by adults, obviously. And so I was in class and one of our teachers was talking about the budget cuts and whatnot. And there was this one student who just stood out and spoke their mind about their opinion with how they felt. And they had a completely different outlook from what the teachers thought. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Like, they're very informative and new, just provided a new side to the whole outlook. So I actually have this student here with me today. Her name's Kiki. She's super smart, and she happens to live right around the corner. So care to introduce yourself, Kiki?
Hi. I'm also a senior at Pompano. I take a lot of AP classes, and I also work full-time, so that's where I get my input. On the budget cuts, I have a little bit of a different outlook than the teachers because I believe that they get a lot more benefits than they see. And I think that they sort of don't really
deserve it.
Yeah, and they don't really respect how much they get, and they're sort of, I don't know, unhappy with how much they get when other people in private sectors don't get all of their raises and tenure and
so
pension
what is,
and all that.
So this tenure, I was actually, me and you were talking earlier today and you were telling me about this tenure that teachers get. So you're saying that once these teachers have been in the school board for a certain amount of years, they get what's called tenure. I've asked my teacher today. He said that this tenure does not exist, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they get privileges, okay, once you've been in it for that long, right?
Yeah, it's sort of implied that I guess after you've worked there a certain amount of years, you have the respect and you sort of know what you're doing, so it's a lot harder to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get a lot more benefits than, like, the younger teachers who are sort of more inexperienced.
Yeah. So what's going on right now is they're imposing this merit pay proposal, where the new teachers, they get paid based off of their, like, FCATs. Well, actually, I asked my teacher today. He said that they don't even know for sure how they're going to do it. They kind of just, like, went into it so quickly that they're just like, oh, crap. Now what do we do? Like, how are they going to base these? Are they going to base it off FCAT scores? Are they going to base it off the grades? Because there's no really, like, a fair way to do it. Because some kids, you know, obviously at different schools, like I said, my school, the teachers are going to love the merit-based pay. All their kids are going to have great scores. We're smart kids because we want to be at school. But other public schools aren't necessarily that way. How are these teachers going to be paid if they're working their butts off doing the best to teach them when these kids, they have no desire to learn. They're just there to play sports. They don't care. They don't care about their teacher's salary, you know? So it really doesn't make too much sense to me.
Yeah, well, I think that it's going to be good in some ways, and it's sort of going to be difficult to manage in other ways, because the teachers who do know what they're doing and who teach well, and it should show off, it should, and then they should be able to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, it makes teachers, you know, want to work harder, because the better grades their students get, the more maybe bonuses they can get at the end of the year or however it is.
Yeah.
And then maybe it'll also point out teachers who don't really try and don't really spend extra time with their students to get their grades up. Maybe the administration of schools will be able to see that these teachers don't really deserve all of the benefits that they're receiving. Because in private sector jobs, unlike the public sector, you don't just get raises every year without proving that you're doing your job well. You know, some teachers don't do their job very well. I see it firsthand every day.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it's so pathetic when – it's so sad when you see these teachers that have been working there. Like, some of them that are actually good teachers, they are forced to – they're, you know, cut because of the budget cut. There was – oh, what was it? Broward County, where I live, they announced 1,400 teacher layoffs, and where 6 school districts are the biggest employers. So 1,400 teachers are out of jobs. So out of those 1,400, of course, there's many that are actually qualified teachers and are great, great, great educators. Yet they keep these ones around that don't know, have no idea what they're doing. So it's just, it's sad to see, you know, like this is the future of our America. They're trying to educate our students. Like, if we don't have good teachers and they don't have the incentive to teach or the money to teach, and we don't have the funding to get educated, how are we supposed to prosper in our future? That's one of the questions that I'm having. And it's a fear, you know, like we're not getting what we need. We don't have the resources we need or deserve. But that basically wraps up this segment for now. On our next segment, we're going to talk about the budget cuts a little bit more. But we have Kiki here and I'll be here. So you're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Alexa J, your host. Keep it right here.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all 8 of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids.
Has your role model let you down? Every day it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation. Our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
There is so much going on in the tech field.
The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Kids.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is American Pulse on Voice America Kids. Don't be afraid to speak up and make your voice heard. You never know what effect you could have on your future and our country's future. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Alexa J, on the American Pulse, and you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. Now, I'm here with my friend Kiki. We were just talking about our senior year, our first week of school, and how it's a little bit different from last because we've noticed a big change with these Florida budget cuts that have been going on. We don't have the resources we need. Our textbooks are old. The class, there's like 45 kids in a 25 suited student classroom, and all of our teachers are gone, and all of these guidance counselors that are supposed to be there, we're down to three, and most of them aren't experienced. We have all new guidance counselors, perfect, just for our senior year, the time when we need most guidance, right? But, so we were just talking a little bit about that, and what I just want to ask is why? Why? What I don't know is why do we need these? Why do we have to have these budget cuts? So Kiki hopefully has a little bit more insight on that. She seems to be a little bit more knowledgeable on the subject than I am.
Well, if you didn't know, public schools are funded by property taxes, not income taxes or anything else. And as the economy goes down, real estate goes down, values of houses go down. So property taxes that people pay also go down. So as everything goes down, the state receives less money. Mm-hmm. And because they have less, they have to distribute it more scarcely. And
yeah, so like our housing market's just totally in the gutter right now.
Yeah, and I guess it's seen everywhere. Like a lot of our teachers have been lost just at our school alone, like three or four of them. And I went to Catholic school when I was in middle school, so I'm used to the large class size. But public schools are, I guess, a lot different because teachers have the luck of having smaller classes.
So do you like, what's your personal opinion on it? Do you like the class size? Like, what's your opinion? Do you think the budget cuts are okay because technically it's not raising our tax? I know you're a Republican and you don't want to pay those taxes. So
I mean, personally, because I'm a student, I guess I can talk and I can say that I don't really mind the larger classes. Some of my best classes are the ones that have 35, 37, 38 students in it. And it's pretty good when you have all good kids in the class. I mean, I can understand how it gets sort of rowdy if you have some really talkative, loud kids in your class. But sometimes you get a lot of good input from students and you can get help from the students alone, not just the teachers. And especially in sports classes, like, I don't really see a problem with having a lot of kids in there.
Definitely not.
And, I mean, the budget cuts, I guess you just have to understand, you know, it's sort of a lose-lose. If there's less money going into the state, I don't really know how teachers expect them to keep all the teachers and keep the small class sizes, because that would mean you need more teachers for all the students.
So it's kind of like our high expectations are, it's really just our outlook on it. It really isn't that bad. It's kind of just, we've been so like showered and like fortunate with these gifts basically, and now we're just unappreciative of the things that we don't have. Like we've been spoiled all along, and now when it comes down to it, we get basically what we need for the most part, and now we're just very unappreciative and everyone just wants to, you know, revolt.
But you know what I hate the most is how much teachers complain. Like I'm a strong believer that teachers shouldn't be able to push their views in government on their students, and I see that a lot more lately, especially, like, with I've heard two of my teachers alone talk about how much they hate Rick Scott, who's our governor. And, I mean, I think it's just the difference between, like, the public sector and the private sector and the market, and how much the public sector is, you know, sort of spoiled with how many benefits they get versus the private sector, who knows they have to work for everything that they get.
So what's really, like, the distinguishment between the public sector and the private sector? I'm not, like, you know, I don't know. I know the difference, but, like, I'm not sure.
Well, I'd say, like, public sector, I think a lot of teachers get raises every year without even, you know, having to prove that they earn it. When in the private sector, you know, when you have a normal job, you have to prove that you earn a raise.
I've been working at my job for 2 years. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I don't put forth my full effort when I'm at work. I'm not even going to, like, try and lie here. Like, I goof off. It's such a fun job. I work at this place called Tijuana Flats. It's, like, a burrito shop. And, I mean, like, I'm, a full-time student and a part-time, like, waitress. I work, like, 15 hours a week or whatnot. But I just mess around. I love everyone that I work with. They're such great people. And they're just – all we do is just, like, have fun. So, I mean, I don't really expect to, move my way up to manager or something, because it's kind of just, like, a part-time job. I'm really not, like, intending to make that much money. But, like, you, on the other hand, like, you're 17 years old and you're manager of Subway.
Yeah, I'm sort of the exact opposite of you, I guess.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I've worked for one Subway store for 2 years, and after that my boss decided to expand and buy more. So I've actually become the general manager of a few of them. And, like, I think I personally earned my raises. I earned my movement and position because I work hard. Like, I work a lot of extra hours. I work all the time on weekends and nights and everything. And, like, I guess if I could compare myself to teachers, how some teachers automatically get raises without even proving it. Like, if I saw my coworkers getting raises and I knew they weren't doing a very good job, like, I'd think that was sort of ridiculous. And for the public sector to do that, I think that's sort of ridiculous.
It's true. Like, it's unfair that these they don't have to prove anything, which is kind of like, it's good with this merit-based pay thing. It's like kind of like beneficial in that way that you have to, like, they saw that this is an issue. Like, they can't just get raises without having to prove anything. But then again, it's hard to base off of, like, you know, the demographics of where they're located school-wise. Yeah, it's just a difficult situation in general.
Yeah, it's like a lose-lose because some teachers who work really hard might have bad students, and other teachers who don't work very hard might just have overachieving kids. Mm-hmm. And it's probably very hard to decide, which I sort of understand.
Yeah, I agree. So, another thing that kind of goes hand in hand with teachers is this whole labor unions, you know, ordeal. I know labor unions, like, in definition, they are an organization of workers that have banded together to achieve, like, common goals, to achieve, like, better working conditions. That ultimately sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think as it started out, which was when people were being taken advantage of by larger companies, it probably was a great thing. But as labor unions sort of got smarter themselves and learned how to work the system, they learned how to get more benefits for everybody in the labor unions. And it's very hard for companies and even, like, the government when talking about teacher unions to prevent them from getting, like, a ridiculous amount of benefits that they get. Like, right now, I think there was a company that had they refused to give their unions raises because as the economy's going down, you know, they're not making as much money. And they showed up outside of the CEO's house and were protesting.
Oh, wasn't that Verizon?
Yeah, and because they were in the unions, he couldn't even fire them. I mean, if my workers showed up outside of my house in the morning, I would think I might fire them.
Yeah, like, he couldn't fire them because they're in the union. Like, that actually, it all goes back to my very first show. I was talking about the lack of integrity in Americans, how this woman was the manager at McDonald's, and she punched some lady in the face for having a seeing eye dog, where like these minuscule jobs aren't hiring people because they're like technically overqualified, yet we're just hiring these people off the streets who have no incentive to do better, to move up the ladder. I shouldn't be talking, but they just are hired when all these unemployed people who actually have college degrees are
desperate seeking for jobs. So it kind of just like it all goes back to that. They can't get fired. So now all these people, like, they know they're not going to get fired. So they don't have an incentive to work hard.
Yeah, that's like the exact opposite of the private sector. If you don't work hard, you're going to lose your job. There's not really a question about it.
Yeah.
And that way everybody keeps working hard, keeps trying to earn their raises, and keeps trying to keep their job.
Yeah. Very. It's a difficult, it's definitely like a sticky situation. It's kind of controversial, but that's what we'd like, right? Well, that's about it for this section, but keep it right here. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about the public sector versus the private sector and the 2012 elections and who our candidates are. So keep it right here. We'll be back soon. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. Keep it right here.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Game on! It's all about the latest and greatest video games. Game on! We'll talk about gameplay, level design, characters, storylines, game modes, and downloadable content.
Game on!
We'll review video games that cover every type of genre.
Game on!
If you're a role player, shooter, musician, fighter, racer, or just like games for the family, this is the show for you.
Game on!
We'll preview the hot new platforms, games, and more, including release dates and updates.
Game on!
Tune in weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Kids.
Game over.
Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
It's Kids and Cars. If you could get behind the wheel of your favorite hot car, where would you take it? Join your hosts, who are both car enthusiasts, as they take you inside, on the road, and past the pits with your favorite concept cars. This is your chance to burn rubber and leave the others behind in the dust. Tune in to Kids and Cars, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. If you miss the show, you might as well be stuck in the garage.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
This is American Pulse on Voice America Kids. Don't be afraid to speak up and make your voice heard. You never know what effect you could have on your future and our country's future. Now, back to the show.
Alexa J, you're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. We were just talking about the budget cuts and how they've affected us. I'm with my friend Kiki here. She has a lot to say as she's only 17. She's pretty ambitious as she's only 17 years old and already the general manager of a Subway. Therefore, she has a lot to say about these taxes that she's paying and the difference. And she knows a lot about the difference between like hard work and people who are just granted this this opportunity for success, like those who people who are just born into opportunity, which kind of brings me into this recent kind of like Warren Buffett, let's just put it that way. What is Warren Buffett?
He was born into politics, right? His
dad was a U.S. representative, Howard Buffett, and
he pretty much, you know, grew up with some amount of money, you know, not very poor, and started investing, I guess, buying stocks and everything. So he made a very large amount of money, probably relatively quickly.
Yeah,
and he has a lot to say, and it's sort of weird because usually rich people are the ones who say they don't want to pay a lot of taxes, and this guy believes that rich people should pay a lot more taxes than they do.
Yeah.
he pays, I guess we looked it up, he pays 17% of income tax, which he thinks is far too low, but yearly it's about $7 million.
For him. But, yeah. I mean, he's saying this is too low. Like, you want to pay my taxes? There you go. Like, have mine. Take it, please. Like,
yeah, I guess he doesn't really realize, like, the people who aren't billionaires, maybe the people who, you know, just make, like, a couple $100,000 a year.
Who are working hard.
Which, I mean, that's an all right amount of money. But what if you have, like, 6 kids or something, and mm-hmm. then you're still paying 30% income tax, which is, like, the average rate of people who make $300,000. That's like, you're paying $100,000 in taxes. That's completely ridiculous when you work hard. Like, what if you work really hard? You don't just sit around playing the stock market.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of, like, brings me to the comparison between this Warren Buffett. He's kind of, like, in Obama's pocket. He's like, saying all this stuff. What did he do? He invested $1 million or $1 billion into Bank of America.
Yeah, I don't really know what that's about, but he just keeps talking about how people should pay more taxes, which sort of agrees with Obama's view.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he's been confronted a lot. Why he's asked why he's not just writing checks to the Treasury if he wants to give them money.
Michelle Bachmann was just like, okay, well, if you have all this money to spend, why don't you just, you know, donate a nice check to the U.S. Treasury?
Yeah, you can just donate money to the government and they'll take it. So I don't really know why he's trying to make other people who don't agree with his views pay more.
When he has so much money to spend, you know?
And then there's sort of like the opposite of him. This guy, Mitt Romney, who is also, a presidential candidate for this?
Yeah, he's a Republican presidential candidate.
He worked pretty hard for his money. He didn't even graduate college at first because he had to make more money, and then he ended up going back. But he thinks that the government shouldn't really interfere with their jobs. They shouldn't have to pay as much taxes when they work very hard for their money. And he thinks that the private sector creates the jobs, not the government, not the public sector. He doesn't think that they should really even be involved with creating jobs.
They shouldn't intervene. Because too much, like, that's really the main difference between a Democrat and a Republican is the Democrats believe in the federal government and them controlling our economic regulations, when the Republicans believe it's the people and basically the private sector to, you know, establish these economic...
The Republicans sort of think that they can handle themselves, you know. They can earn their own money, they can spend it how they please, and they shouldn't have to pay too much.
Yeah, because the government is by the people. As a democracy, we're a government of people, right?
Yeah, so should it should be for the people.
For the people, by the people, we the people, whatever.
Yeah, they should be serving us. We shouldn't have to work hard to give them our hard-earned dollars.
Exactly. I agree completely. So this Mitt Romney dude... I probably shouldn't say that. Mitt Romney, our potential president, he graduated from Brigham Young University in 1971, and then this is before he didn't graduate college, but he worked as a plaster carpenter and sold aluminum paint, and then that brought him to his career at being the head of American Motors, and then to the governorship of Michigan. Then he went to Harvard Law and Harvard Business School and graduated from there. And then he founded the investment firm Bain Capital in 1984. And under his leadership, Bain Capital helped to launch or rebuild hundreds of companies, including household names such as Staples, Domino's Pizza, Sports Authority. So this guy obviously has prominence. Like, he has worked his butt off, and he's like basically the epitome of a self-made man in comparison to – I'm not trying to like throw Warren Buffett out of the – like under the bus or anything, but – his dad was a politician. He wanted to be a politician from the start. Mitt Romney is kind of the guy where he hadn't planned to be a politician. He's just made so much money, and he knows that there needs to be change. And with power comes great responsibility. Therefore, he feels it's his duty, like it's his calling to, you know, serve his people and do the right thing, make changes, because he feels like he can. It wasn't like he felt like he was destined from a little boy when you didn't know anything.
Yeah, you know, if he worked hard and knew how to run a business, maybe he could be able to budget the country more properly and run the country like a business, like it should be.
Because the government is a business, right? There should only be, like, the head of businesses to run it. Anyway, so more into this. Oh, what else? They think he's they think Mitt Romney's pretty controversial because they passed health care in Michigan.
Massachusetts. It's because, you know, he's a Republican, and a lot of Republicans disagree with Obama's
health care.
Yeah, his health care bill, which said that everybody is mandated to purchase health care, which a lot of people think is unconstitutional. I mean, how can you make somebody pay for something, you know? Mm-hmm. But so a lot of people have a little bit of a problem with Mitt Romney because he passed a health care bill in Massachusetts that makes people buy the state health care if they don't already have their own health care, which, I mean, his defense is that it should be a state thing, you know, not a federal problem. Like, each state should vote whether or not they want it, which is a little bit better than the federal. I mean, I still don't really like the idea of being forced to pay for something.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when poor people are going uninsured to hospitals and then it's coming out of taxpayer dollars, I mean, something needs to be done. I don't really know. I don't really have much of a better idea than he did.
Yeah, but apparently Mitt Romney eliminated a $3 billion deficit without borrowing or raising taxes. Sounds like your kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, it's because I think when you know how to run a business and you know how to make jobs and everything, that's what you need to do. People can make their own jobs in the private sector. You don't really need to be mandated by the government.
Exactly. Well, looks like we're out of time. We're going to wrap this one up. Up next, we have a little bit more about who our future candidates are going to be for the 2012 elections. So keep tuned for that. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. Keep it right here.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Has your role model let you down? Every day, it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation, our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is American Pulse on Voice America Kids. Don't be afraid to speak up and make your voice heard. You never know what effect you could have on your future and our country's future. Now, back to the show.
We're back. I'm your host, Alexa J. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm still here with my friend Kiki. We've been talking about a bunch of really awesome, cool things. Not really.
Politics.
Politics. So much fun. But actually, it's important to know this stuff because it's the state of our future. Like, we are, like, as kids, we have the future in our hands. And if we don't know this stuff, we're going to end up paying for Social Security and all this stuff that we're really not even guaranteed in the future. Like, with at the rate this economy is going, like, who knows if we're even going to get Social Security yet? We're still paying for it with taxes. If you have a job, well, you pay taxes on basically everything. So you still pay taxes, even if you're buying clothes. Lip gloss. Yeah, lip gloss, whatever. you need to pay attention. And especially, you really need to tune in if you are about to turn 18, like me and Kiki, because you, as a citizen, are responsible to vote, and we're going to go over some of the potential candidates for this 2012 race. Since Obama's a Democrat, there's been talk about people running against him.
Yeah, someone, I guess. I mean, I don't know. One of my only guesses would be, like, Hillary Clinton, because...
But that's his girl.
She tried, you know, even
though she always failed. Tries. She always tries. Well, whatever. Best of luck to her. We're going to go over some of the Republican candidates.
The first one would be Mitt Romney. We already talked about him, the guy from Massachusetts, who is very small government. He likes the private sector for jobs.
And our second candidate is Rick Perry. Rick Perry's special because I was doing some research on him. Well, I don't know if this is like the only education he has, but it says that he has a bachelor's degree from Texas A&M University in animal science, which, I mean, it's not really relevant to a president, but he's the governor of Texas, and he has done a great job in governing Texas because one-third of all jobs have been created in Texas because of Rick Perry. A lot of private sector companies are moving their companies to Texas, and that's mainly why he's so popular, because he's created all these jobs, and that's what we're mainly looking for with this high unemployment rate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care if he has a degree in animal science. If he can create a ton of jobs, that's great.
Yeah, hopefully it'll flourish the economy, but who knows? I don't really know enough about him to, make a standpoint. Some other candidates are Michelle Bachmann. She's
very Tea Party, you know?
Yeah.
She likes the old America, low taxes, everybody works hard, earns their money, gets to spend it how they want it.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. But sometimes I feel like the Tea Party, it's good to have a balance of the Republican and Democrat, you know? Like, no one can be so far left-wing or, like, so far conservative, like, or else you just end up being, like, a fascist or a communist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the Tea Party is almost on the verge of, like, being just, like, fascist.
Yeah. I think it's just because everybody's sort of sick of it, you know?
Yeah. When they're very vocal. Yeah,
these are all people who, you know, like, own small businesses or something and are really suffering because of the economy, because people have taken advantage of the system far too long, and now everybody else is having to, you know, fess up to it.
I feel like almost it's kind of like the fact that history really does repeat itself. I remember learning all this stuff in my AP American History class last year, how the companies were being monopolized by these big, big businesses. It's kind of like the government. And the government at the time was in the same boat as these big businesses. They just like allow them to just like regulate anything. They would monopolize these companies. They would treat these the employees unfairly. And that's kind of where like the whole labor union thing came about, which was ultimately like generally it was a good idea, but now it's just had a down effect. I kind of think that they're on their way out anyway. But I just got way off topic. Michelle Bachmann.
I was going to add to what you just said, how history repeats itself. I think it sort of does. You know, every once in a while, people get this great idea that people who don't work hard should still make money. That's how the high taxes start. And then after a while, everybody sort of realizes it doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, they aren't really inspired to work hard when they're paying all of their money in taxes. When they realize that they can just, you know, quit their job, take unemployment, get some welfare, and still make money. And I think that's part of the history repeating itself when that happens, and then it goes back through the cycle of, you know, unemployment being lowered so that people can't take it for too long, welfare going down, and then people work hard again.
Yeah. Like, the economic state as well, like, with the banks closing down and
it's kind of like, it's sad to say, but it's kind of like almost second Great Depression.
Yeah, it's like shock to us.
You yeah, know? It's, it sucks that we have to go through it.
Yeah, as and we're going to be paying for it.
And we're going to be paying for it. No, it's not our mistakes. We're just listening to all this. We're having an opinion. We don't technically like have a, you know, a say on what's going on, but in the long run, we're going to be the one paying for this detriment that all of this like economic stuff is going on.
So, Michelle Bachmann, that was her, the Tea Party. She's a Tea Party person. The next man, Republican man presidential candidate is Herman Cain, who happens to be an African-American, which has caused a lot of controversy. I don't really know why. I think I was actually listening to a liberal, you know, Democrat talk about how the Republicans are paying Herman Cain to run for president because they didn't think he could do it himself, which I thought was sort of insulting to Herman Cain. You know, she wasn't insulting the Republican Party. She was insulting him.
So they think that he would have, like, competition
yeah.
because he's black?
Yeah, so maybe he'll get that black vote.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, I think since we're not trying to, like, you know, hint towards the Republican side or whatever. We're just, you know, stating.
They're just sort of the only candidates since we have a Democratic
yeah.
president.
Which I think for the uninformed, we should give a little distinguishment between Republican and Democrat.
A lot of it, we already talked about taxes. A lot of Democrats believe in higher taxes so that poor people can get some benefits, you know, that they wouldn't have been able to afford. And Republicans believe in lower taxes, so you have to work for it. Another 54.
Okay. Yeah, so another thing is the abortion issue.
Yeah, that's a big problem. But I think Republicans stand more towards anti-abortion.
They're
pro-life, you know? They're a lot of...
it's in the Bible.
Yeah, a lot of Republicans are Catholic or Christian, and they think that, you know, if you get pregnant, you have to keep it. And a lot of Democrats are more towards, you know, it's the woman's choice. If she doesn't want it, if she doesn't think she can provide a good home for it, maybe she shouldn't have it. You know, maybe it shouldn't be brought into this world.
Mm-hmm. Another big issue is this national security versus personal liberty, where that was like a big issue with the 9/11 attacks, where once Al-Qaeda struck the Twin Towers, they wanted to pass the Patriot Act where government they could see your emails, they can tap into your phone calls, which honestly, and then of course the what is it called when you go through the airport? TSA. There you go, TSA. That whole, you know, when they basically like molest you when you're going through the airport. But, you know, I don't mind. I'm willing to give up my personal liberty for national security because you're protected now. If you have nothing to hide, then what's the big deal? You know? What is the big deal if the government reads your email? Like, if you're planning a plot against America, then yeah, you do have something to hide. And then they should see that stuff because you're planning a plot against America. It's common sense. That's the part where I'm willing to give up my personal freedom for national security.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a privilege to live here, you know?
This is America.
Yeah, it's a great country we got going here.
Another thing is the big government versus small government. The Democrats, they prefer like I said before, the big federal government controlling everything, and the small the Republicans believe in states, the state governments. They have the say, like the states, like Mitt Romney, he would like the states to do the health care. Yeah. And same-sex marriage, the Democrats believe everyone, you know, they don't – with the progression of time, like the family values have been redefined. But anyway, I think we're running out of time, actually. But it was a pleasure to have you on my show, Kiki.
Thank you.
I'll welcome you back anytime again. I felt really smart on this one, so it's been fun.
I like making people feel smart.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for today. I'm your host, Alexa J. That's Kiki. You're listening to The American Pulse on the Voice America Kids Network. Stay tuned for next time. See ya.
Thank you for listening to American Pulse. Please join us again next Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Kids. What can you do to make a difference before our next show?